Welcome to Randomania. This is a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. Joining me this week, as always, is my brother Matt. That's all.
I'm not the somebody to your somebody. You couldn't come up with one. You're done. You're over it. We're done with it. We've gone through every brother tag team ever.
That's right. It's just you and me, buddy. That's all we need.
All right. Hey, how you doing? Good to see your face and hear your voice again. This is two in a row, buddy. We're on a roll.
We are rolling right now. We are buzzing, as they say. We are back again with another episode, another match to talk about. It's Royal Rumble Day. I don't know if we want to get over that. We can just mention that. We're recording this on the morning of the Royal Rumble, which is basically like as good as WrestleMania, but not, you know. It's the one I look forward to the most, but also it's not WrestleMania, but it's the
Royal Rumble, man. The Royal Rumble is it's the most exciting match of the year. It's what you look forward to. It's the only pay-per-view I consistently watch throughout the year. When I turn on the WWE Network and I'm like, what do I want to watch? There's nothing new. Let's watch a Royal Rumble. This morning, I watched the 1994 Royal Rumble. 2 days ago, I watched the 1988 Royal Rumble. Shit like that. So that's, you know.
I'm with you. I watched a bunch earlier this month, and then I kind of stopped. But I watched I forget which ones I watched, but there were some good ones. 94, you mentioned. Good one. Bret Hart, mm-hmm. Congratulations winning that. No dispute.
Yeah,
there.
He almost won, huh?
No dispute he almost there won at all.
Luger got it. Bret Hart, so close, though, but he hit the floor before Luger did. So, you know, I don't even like Luger, but he definitely won.
I know you don't, because that's why I think, like, it's just too bad that you're wrong. Because, like, I'm not picking, just because I'm a Bret Hart fanboy doesn't mean that he didn't win, because he did. I mean, if you just look at the way they're falling, physically, Lex Luger's feet have to hit the floor before Bret Hart is even anywhere near it. And he's sideways. So, I'm pretty sure Bret Hart won, even if
he was already on the ground before Luger hit the ground. So, I mean,
anyway.
Can you tell that this is a 16-year argument, 26-year argument that we've had? Anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know I will stand by. I've shown it to my children and shown them how right I am, and they've agreed with me. So I'm just saying, I'm not wrong on this, and I will never stand down. So this week we got, we selected a match last week at random, as we said. Matt, what match was it?
It was match number 336, which turned out to be Kofi Kingston challenging for the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan. From WrestleMania
30-something.
We had this argument last week. I figured I'd bring it back. Was it 35? Agree it was 35?
Yeah, it was. Even on the network, it's listed as WrestleMania 35. But this was in the era, of course, lately in the last 5 years, where they haven't really put a number on it. And promotional, yep. Leading up to it, they just say, it's WrestleMania. But it's hard to say, well, the WrestleMania, the Dallas one, whatever one that was. It sucks that they did that. Because now you're like, I don't remember what number. It's 32. Oh, okay. And then you're like, what about, oh, yeah, it was at the Orlando one. I forgot that even happened. You know, I don't know. Yep. It's just the number helps individualize each event, I thought. And anyway, this was WrestleMania 35. It was live from MetLife Stadium in New York, New Jersey, home of the New York Guardians of the XFL, of course. this was another one of those 70,000 crowd fans in the crowd big events they've had since 2007, basically.
Yeah, April 7th, 2019, by the way.
April 7th, 2019, which seems like ages ago. But then as I was watching this, I was like, this feels like literally yesterday.
Recent, yeah, it's pretty recent.
Yeah, I mean, so Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan. This is station slapped in like the middle of the card, isn't it? It's pretty
right in the middle. Yeah, almost like midway point.
Yeah. I mean, it was a championship match, but they've done that recently where they've spread out the card all over the place. You know, I think the opening match of this was Seth Rollins.
It was, yeah. The opening match was Rollins and Lesnar. This is in the middle. They had the women's tag team match right before this. It closed with the women's Raw Women's Championship. So they really staggered championship matches throughout the whole thing. So, little backstory on how this got going. Daniel Bryan is the champion because he beat AJ Styles the previous November, right before Survivor Series. So Bryan's been hanging on to the title, and he is now full-blown heel mode. He is the new Daniel Bryan. Do you remember the new Daniel Bryan?
Of course, the new Daniel Bryan, the planet's champion, which I always thought was great. Yeah, he won it by, didn't he kick AJ Styles in the nuts, and he turned heel that way, which is sort of, then he kind of snapped.
I think pretty much, and then he got destroyed by Brock at Survivor Series, but and that really kind of plummeted him into like heeldom, you know what I mean?
Sent him off the deep end, if you will.
There you go.
This was remarkable at the time because Daniel Bryan got a custom championship belt. As we mentioned last week, John Cena had his spinner belt. Well, the Planet's champion got his very own eco-friendly, biodegradable, whatever, vegan belt made out of wood and
sustainable materials, yes, and earth stones.
Renewable resources.
For the record, I love the belt. I thought it was a good idea. It fit the personality. It fit the gimmick. Like, it was a little light. You could tell it wasn't very heavy. But, you know, I thought it was fantastic how they did that and why they did it. It's rarely do I like alternative belt designs, but this one was like perfect for the time.
Yeah, it was so radical and so perfect exactly for the character, and to just kind of help rile up a fan base. You know, really play up the heel end of it was, he was, you know, one of those like, I'm, you know, I'm vegan and I'm better than you kind of mentality, and like, that's, nobody likes that, and they want to see that person get beat up. I understand. So that's,
so how does Kofi get into this match?
Kofi gets in because of a fluke, right?
Well, sort of, kind of. So there was a gauntlet match back in February, and that gauntlet match was supposed to determine the person that entered the Elimination Chamber match last. The Elimination Chamber match was for the WWE title. Daniel Bryan was in it, and it was supposed to be Mustafa Ali was supposed to be in that match, and he had gotten hurt in a match with Randy Orton, busted his face, hurt his eye, and had some concussion issues, so they had to, and Ali had just come to TV. He was kind of getting his push, and you had to have a replacement, and Kofi got just kind of thrown in because he's on the show. Well, Kofi killed it, like, was really good in the gauntlet match, actually pinned Daniel Bryan in that gauntlet match, and he got to go and compete in that match, and the crowd was super into it. You get to the Elimination Chamber match, and he got pinned by Daniel Bryan, so he did not win that. Daniel Bryan comes out the Elimination Chamber match as the champion.
Yeah, but due to the gutsy performances both on Raw and then at the Elimination Chamber, kind of gave the WWE Universe the idea that this could and should happen. You know what I'm saying? This was,
it really got the crowd behind him.
What's crazy about it is, if you look back at it now, you can see how the plan shifted, but I can't imagine what the plan was originally. I guess that's pretty good. Like, I don't know what the hell they were going to do before this happened, because I don't think that they were going to have Mustafa Ali Mania. You know what I'm saying?
Probably not.
I mean,
probably not.
They're probably going to set him up for something, but
correct.
I don't think having Kofi go out there for an hour and have everybody be like, "Holy shit, Kofi Kingston's actually great." And
and for all we know, maybe it was Ali. You know, we don't know, because they were really high on him. He had had a couple really good TV matches with Bryan and Randy Orton and a couple other guys. So maybe it was them. Him getting hurt, they were like, well, let's just, maybe they listened to the fans for once. Maybe they actually did that. Because even after the Chamber match, they were supposed to have Kofi in a one-on-one match at Fastlane. And they pulled him out, storyline-wise, they pulled him out and put Kevin Owens in there. So, you know, people are kind of pissed off because that happens. It was McMahon that did it, Vince. New Day comes out, they confront Vince, and they're like, hey man, he deserves a shot and you're screwing him over. So they did another gauntlet match that Kofi, if he won that, then he would get a title match. Of course, he gets to the gauntlet match. Vince is like, there's one more guy, and here comes Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan beats Kofi, so now Kofi doesn't get a title match because Vince and Daniel Bryan screwed Kofi. So another gauntlet match happens when the New Day again, it's like gauntlet friggin' February and March, man. So now it's a tag team gauntlet match where Vince says if the New Day win the gauntlet match, that Kofi gets a shot at WrestleMania. The New Day last beats Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan in that tag team gauntlet match. Now Kofi gets his title match at Mania.
That's right. It's just like gauntlet match. It's funny because when you say it, it sounds like you couldn't come up with like any other type of match. But then at the time, They were fun. I think I like gauntlet matches. I think that they have provided an opportunity to see a lot of people in one time. When I played with my wrestling figures, it was usually gauntlet matches.
Well, I think it's a really nice way to build heat, too. So you really want to have Kofi kind of get beat down and out of it and miraculously beats one guy. And then, you know, here comes Samoa Joe. And you're like, there's no way he's going to beat Samoa Joe. And guess what? He beats Samoa Joe. And then it's Kevin Owens. And you're like, there's no way he's beating Kevin Owens. Then he beats Kevin Owens. And then, oh, Daniel Bryan comes out. Bryan gets all the heel heat because he just beats up the dude that's been going for 40 minutes. And it was good heat. Plus, it got the crowd super into Kofi. So Kofi Mania is like legit right here.
Yeah, it wasn't brewing for months, but it sure did come to a boil rapidly as soon as it was put on.
Big time.
And people caught on and were ready. Like, they were like, yes, we want this. This is what we want. Let's do this. And so I was too.
I think the storyline of the 11-year journey, not having any title matches too, really played into it really well. You know, they talk a lot about that in the pre-match package, which we'll get to here in a second, but they really laid it on thick that, you know, this guy deserves an opportunity. He's been here forever, like there's no time like the present. It really helped that, you know, Woods and Big E are so good on the mic that they just got you emotionally invested of getting behind Kofi Kingston. I think they did a really good job on a short build, and it pisses me off in the sense that they can't do this for other people in other matches.
Right, I know. Like, I mean, it can be once a year. You know, this is not... I mean, I guess you wear it out if you do it for literally everybody, but... I don't know.
But it was good storytelling. In an era where they have pretty shit storytelling over the last couple of years, this one was really good.
So, yeah, anyway. For sure. It was, and it seemed to come out of nowhere. It's one of those things that we're not going to get now without fans.
Correct.
We're not, it's just, is we're going to get what they wrote. I mean, they're not going to be able to pivot based on the reaction of the crowd and the positive or negative reactions that people have. So it's one of those things that helps you value that element when it's missing. Because when it's missing, it's starting to become glaring to me. And that's why I haven't watched wrestling in 3 weeks, but I'm still excited for the Royal Rumble.
Hey, it's the Rumble, that's why, because it's the Rumble. No matter, you can not watch wrestling all year, then you watch the Rumble. As a matter of fact, I got a text message from my friend Logan, shout out to Logan. He's like, oh, the Rumble's tonight. Well, time to get pissed off at something that I haven't watched for a year and a half. you know what I mean? So, that's exactly what it is, because he's still going to watch it, because it's the Rumble. But we're talking about WrestleMania. Did you happen to notice that the Empire State Building was lit up with the video, or not the video, but like the stills of Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston before the pre-match package?
Yes, I was trying to determine if that was
real,
and my determination was it was not.
It's hard to tell. But the fact that it was hard to tell, they did a good job with it.
Sure, they did a lot of superimposing of things around now. You know, like Snapchat filters and things. So I think,
yeah. On the pre-match package, they talked just kind of the Daniel Bryan talking down to Kofi. It was really funny how they called back to the Daniel Bryan storyline from a couple years ago when he was the B-plus player. So now Daniel Bryan being the heel, calling Kofi the B-plus player, the bit role, the guy that slides in when you need him but never really goes anywhere. I thought that was pretty genius, too.
It was exactly right. Yep, I thought so, too. I thought having Vince involved saying you're a B-plus player helps tremendously, but yeah, that's one of the five things I wrote down was B plus player, because I thought that was great. It was perfect.
Yeah, really smart.
Full circle, sort of, for 5 years or whatever, 4 years since his run.
When you got to think too, Kofi had Daniel Bryan had only been back for 1 year at this point. He had retired because of the head stuff. So the previous WrestleMania 30 or something. Huh? He came back to have a tag match, and that was his first match back. So this is 1 year later, so he'd only been back for a year. So half of that is this new heel run for him. So that was nice to see. So I think that's all pre-match stuff.
Yeah.
I think, unless you got... All right, cool. Who's out first?
The New Day.
The New Day, which is weird.
WrestleMania! I didn't think it was weird. The only thing I thought was weird was the lack of any sort of anything to their entrance. They just walked out.
Yeah, no pyro.
No props, no box of cereal, no, you know.
Ice cream cart.
Yeah, no, pancake factory rolling down, you know, something crazy. They just came out. Walked.
So I had either read or heard in a podcast that, and this might be half-truth, my mind gets messed up, I listen to so many of them, that they didn't want to do some of that stuff because they wanted it to be serious.
Yeah,
they
it was a big match.
They're taking the match, yeah, they're taking it serious, it's not a fun thing, they're not out there to joke around, they're like, he's here to fight, he's here to win, like, we're going to make this about Kofi, and we'll see what happens. But I, small part of me, wanted him to come out to the SOS Jamaican song.
Well, yeah, that would never happen, though.
Oh, I know. They had Shawn Michaels come out to DX music at a WrestleMania, so I get it. Not Shawn Michaels music, but, like, I just, you know, they did the 11-year journey thing, and it would be like, oh, how cool would it be, like, even halfway through, like, the lights turn green, and then SOS, I don't know the words.
Careful, it's too accurate. You're going to get us a copyright infringement.
Ooh, no, but you can... Oh, yeah, that's true. Now, if I make it a parody, though, it's legal. It has to be a parody, change the words like Weird Al, you're okay.
You just took out all the consonants.
Yeah, it's all vowels. Daniel Bryan out next to his same Flight of the Valkyries music, which you think they might change, slow it down, make it more sinister being a heel, but they didn't.
Never changed a thing. I always thought that was strange, too, because they could have... I mean... What are you going to do to Flight of the Valkyries, you know, to make it...
Yeah, it's true. Make it all crunchy and heavy like Batista music.
Yeah, I know, but he was supposed to be like... He was still the planet's champion, I guess.
Well, then maybe make some birds chirping in the background and some crickets and some frogs ribbiting or something to make it, you know, I don't know. Some animal noises.
That's the solution.
The sound of trees growing.
That's true.
The sound of the sun shining. The sound of compost being processed. That's just shit noises, in case you were wondering. It's just poop noises. Anyway, Eric Rowan with Daniel Bryan as his kind of heater, his big muscle guy, is his backup.
Yeah, he was wearing like metal band shirts all the time. Did you know this one? I don't know who that is.
I didn't either. Because he always wears like a Mon Amarth shirts, and he wears like all kinds of like Mastodon and stuff like that. He wears a lot, but I didn't know this one. Yeah. It was like a Ramones ripoff or something.
Yeah, you gotta wonder who he met. You know, I don't know who gets that spot, right? I mean, you gotta pick a shirt. Damn, I gotta pick a band shirt for WrestleMania. Who gets that spot? But
it's like his buddy's band that's from like upstate Minnesota, because the dude's from Minnesota. He's like, it's my buddy's bar band. I'm gonna promote them for one day.
That's what I was hoping. It's literally exactly what I was hoping. That it was just like some buddies of his from back home that he was like, this is it, boys. Here we go.
So for as much conjecture and context there is going into the match. Oddly, and for as good of a match as it is, I would say there's not a ton to talk about. Maybe I'm wrong, and that's just my perception, but what do you think?
What, about the match, or...
The actual match itself,
well,
yeah.
Here's the thing, right? I found it tough, because I was, like, going to write notes, and I was like, it doesn't matter, because this is just, like, a WrestleMania match. This is just... They're kind of following a formula of a big match, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was... Well, also, I didn't want to sit there writing the whole time, because I was trying to take in all the little things I was watching, because it was, I remembered that, as I said last week, that this was a really good match, and I remembered that this was the best match on the card, but I didn't remember specifically, because I don't remember shit, but I remember that it was good, and so I really wanted to enjoy it as I was watching it, and so that's what I did when I watched it. I thought it was...
I did write some notes down, just... key points in the match, and even just how, you know, I'll just kind of roll through it. The start of the match, just wrestling, man. Like, yeah. Reversals and holds and throws and, you know, it's like, these guys know what they're doing, and they can clearly go, you know, as opposed to, like, the John Cena-Batista match we had from last week. These guys had 4 minutes of reversals, lockups, you know, trying to get into their finishers and just and doing sweet pinning, you know, maneuvers or procedures, policies? That's not a real thing.
Maneuvers. What a maneuver.
What a maneuver. Just kind of working and building steam a little bit. And I thought that was, man, a fresh air. Breath of fresh air to see that.
There was a nice monkey flip in there that he landed on his feet. Yeah. There was a nice Mexican surfboard in the first couple minutes of that match that I appreciated. But it had zero effect on Kofi. He pretty much no-sold it. Did you notice that? The Mexican surfboard, he jumped right up. I was like, well, I mean, he's pretty flexible. It shouldn't hurt.
Shouldn't hurt much. Yeah, they get that back and forth, and he does his little stage dive over the top rope where he jumps back first onto the guy, which always just terrifies me.
Oh, me too.
But Daniel Bryan protected him pretty good because he knows what the hell he's doing. So, good job. But, yeah, that stage dive thing, man, oof, scary.
Yeah, he doesn't do it very often, I don't think.
Not anymore.
I haven't seen it in a minute, so I guess it's maybe exactly. Just thinking.
He's hurt right now. He's not even in the Royal Rumble tonight, homies. Call back to that. This is his first Royal Rumble he's ever missed. Did you know that?
I did not. I was unaware that he's out, and I'm no longer watching. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought I'd bring that up. So we get a cut back to the monitor in the back where all the superstars are cheering on Kofi, and here we go, Kofi Mania. They cut to that a couple times. We get our first clip here at this point.
Yeah. Comment on that. That is not needed. I didn't need that. The curtain sellout or whatever that they call it where everyone's watching. I don't know. A couple of times. They showed it once, and that's cool. Maybe show it again later when a big spot happens, but they went to it like 6 times. And I was like, okay, we get it. Everyone's rooting for them.
And the best part of that is right there in the front, cheering him on, Mustafa Ali. Here we go, taking my spot. Let's go, Kofi. Take my spot, son of a bitch. Here we go.
They tried to show that he's okay with it, that he's a team player, and that, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it caught my eye and I had to write it down, so I thought that was funny. We get the classic boom drop that Kofi had been doing all his career, so boom drop happens. That was pretty cool. That Kofi springboard, they worked their way to the outside, and Kofi springboards out and just lands gut first on the table. Looked way worse initially than after you see the replay, not as bad. But initially, it's like, goddamn, he's dead. Then that replay is like, yeah, he's all right. Still a good bump.
Yes, still a good bump. That was definitely a turning point of the match. That's where it was kind of back and forth until then, and then it kind of where the match turned and where Danny Bryan started taking over. But yeah, initially they did shoot it perfectly. I think they obviously know what they're doing, where they had the camera right there where he was going to land, so he pretty much was in your living room style. And it looked pretty, it looked rough. I mean, it's like gravity is what I was thinking in my head when he landed. I was like, it's just gravity. You can't stop that. You landed on a table from far, far away. It probably hurt. Yeah.
It's going to hurt. Yeah. Get that big knee from Daniel Bryan where he's got Kofi draped over the ropes and the big knee off the top. With that was pretty well executed. Daniel Bryan just beating the crap out of him. Then he kind of gets that reverse bear hug on him where he's just cinched him up and he's just riding him. And, Graves is talking about, oh, this is wearing out Kofi and making him tired. Just perfect Daniel Bryan stuff. Like, this is what he does. Like, it's perfect.
It was well-timed because it never felt like it was going on for too long. I've said this about bear hugs before. The worst thing that could happen is if they last too long. But this this one was, it felt like it was the right amount of bear hugging.
Well, it helps that Kofi's fighting to try to get out, too. So he's like stays with him, and he kind of turns it into a throw, and then he's laying on top of him. So it wasn't just staying in one spot like you would get with Hogan and Andre in 87. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are trying to move out of it and be a little squirrely. So that was good.
Yeah.
Hogan and Andre. Running corner kicks from Daniel Bryan, which are awesome. Love those running corner kicks.
Oh, yeah. He really lays in on the one. I don't know how it doesn't hurt. Like, I
know.
I don't know how it doesn't hurt like hell. He's running full speed.
I know. He lands on his head. And he lands on his head.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, maybe this is why you couldn't wrestle for 3 years, man. Maybe don't do this for a minute. But, hey, he rocked it out. Like, Kofi tries to reverse it with that double stomp. But then Daniel Bryan grabs him and, Boston Crab from there, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Too. Oh, yeah. That was one of the better spots of the whole match when they put him. He put him kind of in a Walls of Jericho style Boston Crab, but then put him in a more traditional one, and he was deep. I said,
it was good.
It's good that you have a flexible guy. It's nice with long legs and stuff that you can really cinch that shit in because it looks good that way. And
exactly. It looks like it actually hurts because it probably does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we used to put the Boston Crab on each other when we were kids because it didn't hurt. We were like, this doesn't hurt. But then I was like, oh, they're adults.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're really cranking down Jericho style.
Right.
Get a couple. At one point, I noted that when they were kind of up on the top rope, Kofi was doing, Kofi's facing the crowd on the kind of hunched over the top rope, and Daniel Bryan's behind him, and Kofi's giving him the elbows, and the crowd starts with the yes chant. I thought that was a nice touch from the crowd. Gets Daniel Bryan off, and Daniel Bryan's kind of like crouched over, and Kofi comes off with that splash. But, yeah. Like, Daniel Bryan's on his feet.
Yeah.
And he lands on his back, and I was like, ooh.
That's weird.
That's if you don't time that right, like, that'll really screw the dude up. So I thought that was really, it's a nice move, but oof, it scared me.
Yeah, me too. I was like, unconventional, I guess we call it. I was very, yeah, I was surprised when he did that. I was like, that's effective.
We get our, yeah, effective, and it was great. I don't, you know, see it very often, probably because it's not the most safe thing in the world. Maybe not, I don't know. But these guys are, like, seasoned dudes, so they can probably pull it off. We get our back and forth, our yays and nays that you don't like, so that happened. Thought of you right away, our yays and boos.
I don't like it, but I'll tell you, in this match, the crowd was really responding to that, and nothing I like correct more than a hot crowd, and this crowd was suddenly very super into this.
Super into it.
I mean, they were at the beginning, too, when he came out, obviously, all of that, but now you, I mean, you could feel like this, the whole building was like, now we're in. Let's go, you know.
Exactly. So we get that back and forth, and goes for Trouble in Paradise. Kofi does, gets caught and reversed back into the crab. I think that was at that point. Then there's a lot of back and forth kind of wrestling again where they're trying to up one another, and there's some pinning sequences. And at one point, Kofi gets to the top rope, and he looks like he's going to come off. And I thought he was going to go for that DDT that he does off the top rope sometimes, but it turned into a crossbody on Daniel Bryan. It's almost, if you go back and watch,
yeah,
which I don't expect it to, it almost looks like he had to adjust in midair.
Yeah.
To make it a crossbody. So did you notice
it
that?
It was,
or
very
that just me?
Soft landing. I felt as though it was a miscommunication because the way they kind of just went up and down and landed, even the crowd didn't really like react. It was like, oh. It was very flat.
Yeah, I swear he was going for like a DDT, but like it's almost like he was like, nope, not happening, and he adjusted it in a crossbody. Either way, they pulled it off. Yes, lock gets put on Kofi. The label lock. They kept going back and forth between the label lock and the yes lock, which I thought was funny because I consider the yes lock probably more of like the babyface thing, right? So the label lock's probably the heel name for it. Do you know who the label lock is named after?
Patti LaBelle, of course.
Yeah, the singer. Yep. Okay, perfect. Judo Gene LaBelle is the guy. He was a wrestler back in the day and a trainer and a stuntman. He actually helped train Rowdy Roddy Piper, and he actually helped train Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Well, there you go. Well, that's... There's facts like that that you just can't get anywhere else.
Except for, like, Wikipedia.
Like, if you look it up online.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's just something that I know because I'm a dork and I know shit about wrestling that nobody else should know. So, anyway, I wrote down running knee into a pin, which
ooh,
was
yeah,
a move that happened. I don't really remember, but I wrote it down.
Yeah, he did the big, you know, the big flying knee. And it was, that's his finisher, like, And I even was sitting next to Miles like, oh my god, it's over. Like, I know the outcome of this match, but that's how it felt. Like, holy shit, he hit it and it's over. Oh my god. False finish and Daniel Bryan, very shocked face.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Get that SOS, that pretty sweet SOS move, that like roll through kind of pinning slam thing that he does that gets hit on Daniel Bryan. Then another yes lock from Daniel Bryan. So this is like their back and forth, no sell, giving the crowd up. And I wrote that the crowd is pumped up, man. And the because Kofi kind of gets up, and that's when he gets all fired up, and he's like, come on, come on. And everybody's just fucking going
yep
nuts, dude.
When he, well, yeah, you can feel, that was a great moment. That was one of the greatest moments. That's, yeah, it's one of the best moments in WrestleMania history. When he's kicking him, when he's doing the kicks,
yeah,
and he's just fighting them
the
off.
The stomps?
No, like, yeah, no, not the stomps, but he's doing his yes kicks, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, and he's all,
and
he
he's standing
up,
yeah, just
yeah,
like you were talking about a second ago, and he's standing up, and he's just like, come on, come on, and you can just see, like, the passion in him, and the crowd responding alike, and I was like, goosebumps, I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Exactly. It was, man, yeah, at that point, like, even I'm like, I'm into this, like, I remember watching it live at the same time, being like, this is a good match, like, these are, they're, this is awesome. Love it. Back and forth stuff then outside there with the New Day and Rowan getting involved kind of gets them a reason to be out there. Yeah. Rowan blocks Kofi from getting to Daniel Bryan, so then New Day rolls in and they do the freaking midnight hour, man. Big E got Rowan up on his shoulder. Holy
yeah
moly, that guy's strong.
Yeah, let's throw in an amazing feat of strength real quick in the middle of this amazing match. Let's have the ring.
Jesus. Fucking rolled him out. So they get back in the ring, and Daniel Bryan does those stomps where he's pulling up on his legs, and he's just stomping on his face, and it just looks like he's murdering him.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you question, is this PG as you watch him do it? Because it's like, damn, that is brutal.
He is stomping the crap out of him. So that moves into another label lock, but this time Kofi fights out of it, and the crowd is just into it, and the New Day guys are just getting the crowd going, which reverses, and now Kofi Kingston starts doing the stomps on Daniel Bryan, which was tight, and then he's all fired up again, and then Trouble in Paradise.
Trouble in Paradise.
Square Kofi Kingston.
Pins him 1, 2, 3, and Kofi Kingston wins.
And we got a new WWE champion.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably going to happen. I think we all kind of went into it going, he's probably, unless some screw job happens, you know, or WrestleMania can be, but we want this to happen, and we hope it's going to happen, and this is what should how it should happen, and that's exactly what happened, right?
Yeah, I think this was a big fan service WrestleMania. When you look back at it, you know, I don't want to give too much away because we're going to get some of these matches again in the future, we hope, but a lot of things that, as you as a fan, want to happen, happened. A lot of the champions you wanted to come out of it came out of it, and this was one of them. So you think somewhere in that card there might be, like, one heel's got to win or something. And of all those matches, I thought this might be the one, honestly. I remember going into it going, I mean, I like Kofi, and he deserves it, but you could probably not give him the title, and he's going to be okay. But he didn't. And the fact that Daniel Bryan did not kick out of that Trouble in Paradise 2 and that he pinned him on it was pretty huge.
Agreed, yeah, because, you know, it's false finish mania. We all know that. But yeah, he's, I mean, they had gone through that already, and he'd already fought through everything. He already got redemption with the stomping, which I don't think got as big of a reaction from the crowd as they thought it would. Did you notice that when he was stomping? It was kind of like people were like, yay, but it sort of fell flat a little until he hit Trouble in Paradise, and they're like, oh shit, here we go. Did you notice that?
Yeah. And I did a little bit. Yeah, like, I got excited for the stomps, but I thought that they thought maybe the crowd would get more into it, too. I agree with you. I mean, it still was effective, because you stomped the dude down, and you down there. It sounded like a Uber when I said down there.
Stomped him down.
Yeah, stomped him down. So, yeah, Kofi the champ, and immediately the New Day boys are in the ring, and they're hugging Kofi, and Woods is visibly bawling, like, just crying.
Yeah, it's, you could tell the moment was very real for them, and it was, nice to see.
Yeah, and Kofi also crying. Woods was just smiling. Not Woods, I'm sorry. Big E is just smiling ear to ear, like he almost was just like, I'm so happy to just be here. But Woods is just crying, and Kofi crying, and yeah, it's just, I got emotional, man. I know what happened. Even when I watched it this morning, when I rewatched it, I was like, man, this is awesome.
I also got, you know, you could feel it, you know, it was good. So then they had that present that they had teased at the beginning of the match, we forgot to mention, which was t-shirts.
Well, even before that, they were like, we were going to give him the belt, and they had that, you know, the artsy fartsy sustainable one that Daniel Bryan had, but they uncovered the black one with the black leather in the background and the big W's on it, so Kofi got the real title belt to celebrate with. So I thought that was a really good do. I thought it would have been really shitty if all the celebration pics of him in the ring would have been with that brown belt, you know?
Exactly, and they knew that, so that's why they came prepared. Yeah, and it was very shiny. Did you notice how shiny and clean it looked?
Oh, they shined it up real nice. They turned that sumbitch sideways and put it on Kofi's waist.
That's right.
That's not where I thought I was going with it. Yeah, they bring Kofi's kids in, which was a really nice touch, too. Like, even that, like, I'm not a father. You are, so I imagine maybe a little more touching for you to see it. But that was just a really cool moment. Like, the kid's so happy. The little boy, the one, the older one, holding the belt up. And then, like, on the middle turnbuckle when he's throwing the t-shirts that you mentioned out to his family. Like, man, that's, you can't ever duplicate that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It was a wonderful moment. And it was, like, putting smiles on faces, right? And that's what they're trying to do, and they did that.
It worked, yeah. And fireworks going off outside of MetLife Stadium, which was nice. They just happened to have some fireworks in case Kofi won. So I thought that was a nice touch.
Hey,
so
Kofi really won. Good. We should set off these fireworks. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, good thing we brought extra fireworks. Yeah. The match was 23 minutes and 45 seconds from bell to bell.
They gave him time, which
is a lot of time.
Yeah, needed that.
A lot of time.
Big show, but it had the luxury of going on in the middle, so people weren't wore out yet. They could handle a 23-minute match with two guys who can absolutely go, which is what.
Yep, they didn't have to cut anything. Granted, this WrestleMania went on for 7.5 hours, so they didn't cut shit from anybody's matches either. So, but it was nice that this one got to go nice and long. The referee we did not mention, his name is Jason Ayers. Worked there a lot longer than you probably think. Used to be a referee in a couple other, in Ring of Honor and Evolve and a few other places too, so
yeah.
We didn't mention that at the beginning like we normally do. I apologize. And it was, who was on headset? It was Saxton, Graves, and Cole, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it was nice in the beginning of the match how Byron talked about how when he got signed to developmental, how Kofi helped him, like right before Kofi went up. And Graves has a nice line. Well, if Kofi was smart, he wouldn't have been nice to you, so you'd still be here. But anyway, yeah, Kofi's really nice. Yeah. Anyway. Just really quick, because we're running a little long here, really quick. After this, Kofi held the title for 180 days. Pretty good. Defended against guys like Daniel Bryan shortly after this, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, and he eventually lost the title in an 8-second match to Brock Lesnar on the first SmackDown on Fox.
Yeah, which, honestly, I think, I don't know how you felt, but I was like, okay. Guess it's over now.
I mean, yeah, he had a good run. I just wish there would have been a little more fanfare. Maybe let Kofi do a minute of offense in that match. But literally, I think they were running short on time during that SmackDown show. It was the day before my wedding. I didn't see it live. So I saw the replay. But he went for Trouble in Paradise, got caught, put him in an F5, and pinned him.
That's right. I was in Wisconsin. Yeah, I didn't see it either. So, but afterwards, I was like, okay, well, that's fine. Because, like, if it was anybody else, I would be upset, but it's Lesnar.
Yeah, it's Brock.
I'm not going to lie. That's a realistic outcome, like, possibility if they had a match. So I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like is that, you know, Kofi had successfully defended and pinned guys like Dolph, Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. So he pinned all these guys in legit matches only to get squashed, but whatever. Daniel Bryan, after this Mania match, took about a month or so off. He did not come back until the middle of May. I don't know if it wasn't for a wedding or something. I don't know if that's when they had their second kid. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's just the post-WrestleMania time off. But he was off TV for a bit, came back. He won the tag titles with Eric Rowan, which they held for a couple months and eventually lost those titles to the New Day. So, and then he got involved in a storyline with the whodunit storyline with Roman Reigns of who was trying to attack Roman backstage, which slowly turned Bryan out of his heel character back into what he's in now, so.
I forgot about a lot of that stuff after for Bryan. So,
yeah. So there's what happened with those guys. Let's rate this bad boy.
Yeah.
I am gonna give it on an HBK scale 5 HBKs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was gonna rate it. I was gonna go first, but I wanted you to go first. But I was gonna rate this a 5 HBK match for sure.
It is exactly the type of match with the emotion behind it. The perfect amount of build, heat in the middle, they're your hope spots, like all that technical shit, and then the right guy wins. The crowd was hot, which is a big factor in a Mania matches. I don't have anything bad to say about the build-up, the match. It was kind of perfect. I don't give a whole lot of WrestleMania matches fives. It's a 5.
Agreed. I'm 100% with you. It was a 5 HBK match. It was perfect. It was well executed. Everything you said it perfectly. You said it right. You said it exactly right. It should go down in history as one of the best that we have. Like if we put a compilation of best WrestleMania matches, best WrestleMania moments, it should be certainly mentioned up towards the top. So good one. I'm glad.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It probably is the best match at this Mania too. Just looking at what the card looked like, looking at Wikipedia and how, reminding myself what it was, probably the best match at the show. So go out of your way. I will post this match on social media, which you can find us at Random Mania Pod, Random Mania Podcast on Facebook, and we now have Instagram, which is Random Mania Podcast there as well. So I'm trying to get some follows for some people. I'm going to post my wrestling figures that I buy on there because it's wrestling content. So.
Let's pick a match for next week. I'm pretty excited for that. That's always my favorite part.
358 is our max, right?
We have to pick a number between 1 and 358. We have every WrestleMania match given assigned a number. If we get one we already have, we'll pick another one. But
and if we get... I'm going to do 0, so if we happen to get 0, we get to watch whatever the hell we want.
Right. Pick a segment, pick all whatever. Right. Yeah.
Are you ready?
I am so excited.
92.
Holy shit. It's Shawn Michaels versus the Matador.
Ooh, Tito Santana, WrestleMania 8. So this is the opening match of WrestleMania 8.
All right, so that sounds good. Yeah. I'm excited for that one. That's going to be... Right, so anyway, so let's get out of here for this one. We got a... who is this match again? This happens every time, I swear.
Kofi and Daniel Bryan.
Congratulations to Kofi Kingston on winning your big match at WrestleMania 35 for the WWE Championship. Kofi Kingston, baby. But unfortunately, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, fuck.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.